It's good to see y'all again.
If you got your Bibles, turn with the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Let me get this powered up here this morning, if we can. I'm not getting a whole lot of help from the batteries here. Genesis chapter 1, but man, it's good to be with you. Brother Billy brought a message last week that got me to stirring, got me to thinking about something I'd already been thinking about. And hopefully, with God's help, we'll be able to share that with you today. Now, I saw as I walked back there to put this presentation on the computer back there in the back, I noticed that Danny and Melissa were back there casting lots about what time we'd be through today. So she said she had lunch plans by 1:30 today. So, amen. I don't know what I'm doing wrong here. But so anyway, I hope we'll be done by 1:30 today. Maybe not. We may just have to not use that right there. We'll just have to see. All right, so you're in the book of Genesis, and I want you to look at with me beginning in verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. We're hopefully going to bring a word to you today on the light of the world is Jesus. You may not have gotten to sing all of the song that we just sang before we got it going, but that's the premise of the message today, the light of the world being our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that you know that in a personal and real way today. And so what do we want to look at first today? How God provided to us a light this morning. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and following. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be, what's that word? Light. And there was light. And God saw the light and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. May God bless the reading of his word. We're not done there, so keep your fingers ready to turn pages. But let's ask the Lord to meet with us here in this place. Dear Father, Lord, I'm praying, God, for a move here today. God, we thank you for being the light of the world. We thank you for being our everything as we enter into this time of study today. And God, I'm praying that you'll move in on this place, and God, that you'll speak to hearts. God, that you'll have your way among your people here today. God, it's not about me. It's not about a personality. It's not about the beautiful church. It's about a Savior. And God, I pray that he's lifted up first and foremost in this place. God, I pray that you'll have your way among people's hearts here today. And God, if somebody needs to trust in Jesus, to believe on him, the glorious light of the gospel be shown down upon them today. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. So God provides us a light this morning. Amen. And you know, we're naturally drawn to the light. How many of you know that? How many of you like to sit around the campfire? Be honest. How many of you catch yourself staring and going? Be honest. John Alt standing both hands up. He's double testifying this morning. Amen. And so we are drawn to the light like bugs to the flame, right? Or like a moth to the flame and so forth. That's us. And just that very light that we see in the expanse of space, boy, sometimes we get caught up in that light and we think that that is everything. And for us in this world, it is a supernatural thing as well, because it provides us some sort of life. It helps the plants with photosynthesis and so forth. And so light for us is an important thing. If the sun were to burn out today, if the Lord were to pull the chain on it today and cut it off, we would immediately start to cool off. Things would begin to die off. Things would begin to change rapidly, and we would go through a frozen period like never been seen before. So the light to us is a very important thing in our lives. But and we look at it as all this is the sun is our everything. The S-U-N is our everything. If I were to tell you today that the S-U-N is not our everything, would you agree with that? Right. We don't have to have the sun for us to exist in this life. But we do appreciate the S-U-N, the sun, for what it does provide for us. It provides warmth. It provides light. We have light in this building today. Or otherwise, you just hear my voice talking, perhaps. I'd have to be yelling a whole lot louder. It may take me longer. Who knows? But we appreciate light. We're naturally drawn to light. But that very light that we see in the space today, and that we call the center of our solar system, is just a drop in the bucket of God's power. I don't know if you've ever seen the study by Louis Giglio, how he talks about how the earth in relationship to the size of our sun. And he equates it, and I mentioned this before, the size of a golf ball. And I can't remember all that. I see Taylor nodding her head because we went through that study in the youth many years ago. And he equates it as a golf ball sitting at the foot of Mount Everest and so forth. And then he says, well, okay, now you get that. Now let's put the sun next to the next largest star. And it's another one of those same examples. The sun that we enjoy today is a very small star. It's not one of the it's not the largest by any expanse of imagination in all of space. I'm amazed by light. My granddad always had these rechargeable flashlights. Even 40-some years ago, he had rechargeable flashlights. I thought they were the coolest things. My brother and I to this day are constantly looking at flashlights. When I go by Lowe's, I love some Lowe's. Amen? When I go by Lowe's, when I used to go by Sears, because Craftsman to us was the top-of-the-line tool, because you know why? They had lifelong replacement. You break one, they replace it. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But we love flashlights. I love a flashlight. I love lumens. I love a lot of lumens in my flashlight, right? And before there was lumens, there was, anybody remember? Candle light or candle what? Yeah, so they rated the amount of light that the thing produced by the number of candles they could equate it to. And I had one that was 1,000,000 candle watt power. Man, I could see in the darkest of nights for as far as I wanted to look with that thing. Neighbors probably didn't appreciate it. Wasn't a problem for me, might have been a problem for them, but anyway, I digress. But light is a spectacular thing, and that very same light that is in space, you know, I love space too, always have, and knowing that the all of the known universe is about 100 billion light years across, you know, light travels at this amazingly fast speed. They measure space by light years, how far light can travel in 1 year. And the Lord God himself created all of it. That's no surprise to any of us that are believers here this morning, but he measures it, as the Bible says, with the expanse of his hand. Yeah, it's about that big. 100 billion light years across. And he goes, yeah, I like it. I love it. I love it. That's our God this morning. But he gives us light. And we're drawn to that light. And he spoke that thing into existence. And light is a spectacular thing. Travels at 186,000 miles per second, right? One beam of light, one ray of light from the sun to the face of the earth, which is about 93 million miles away. If you're going to drive to the sun today, when we leave out of church today at 1:30, Melissa, when we leave out of church today and we drive to the sun at 55 miles an hour, it's going to take us approximately 157 years to get to the sun. Wow. If you've ever driven with Billy Cashwell on the highways, you don't do 55 miles an hour. Amen. We went on some visitations in years gone by, and wow, we were traveling at 186. I'm only kidding. But one beam to travel here to the face of our earth today is a little under 9 minutes. For that light to be created on the face of the sun, make it all the way to here to you today to enjoy it, created 8 minutes ago. That's pretty daggone cool. That's how fast light travels, but it's got a good distance to get to here. And there's, you know, even that being said, we have a great sun, and it provides light and warmth for us to be here today. But, you know, there's a time that they've been able to go back. Science is this really amazing thing, and they can say that there is such a thing as called absolute darkness. What is darkness? It's the absence of light. Right? And so they can measure that. They've been able to measure absolute darkness where there is absolutely no light in the situation. And I've been in, if you've ever been in a planetarium, especially as a kid when the schools go off and they go in the planetarium, they lay back and they look up and they see the solar system being projected up on the top of that little dome, if you will, and every kids are going, ooh. Y'all do it with me. Ooh. Okay, all right, just checking. But they do that, and they talk about in this room is absolute darkness. Can you see your hand in front of your face? No, you can't, because why is, you know, it's educational. It's dark, you know, so it's dark in that particular room. And they talk about there is such a thing as absolute darkness, and that's because there is absolutely no light in that situation or in that space. But you see, they cannot say there is total or adding every light power together, adding all the lumens of flashlights and headlights and all this, and putting all these different kinds of bulbs together to create an absolute total light, right? They can't measure that. So it is infinite. Does that make sense? The power of light is infinite because you cannot measure total brightness. Why? Because you can't get close enough to it. Keep that in mind. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But what is light? Well, light is truth and wisdom. God delights to shine truth into the darkness of ignorance and wisdom into the murk of foolishness. He desires to shine light into the darkest spaces of this world. And so he provides that light for us because the world was without form and was void and so forth. And he said, poof, and light came on. He pulled the chain and light came on. And there was something for us to enjoy even to this day, those thousands of years ago. So light is truth and wisdom, and he delights to shine that truth into the darkness of ignorance, into the wisdom of the murk of foolishness. And truth is who he is this morning. The truth about who he is and what he's doing. And I got a quote here, and it says, "The luminous truth of the Bible delivers us from ignorance, superstition, and obscurity, wishful thinking, and lies." So if it's in your Bible, and God spoke the light into existence, he spoke this into existence. If it's in your Bible, it's here to lighten something in your life so it can dispel the darkness in your life. I don't know about you, but how many in this room today would be honest to say, I need some kind of darkness that's got a corner in my life that needs lightening up by truth? Anybody here today? I think we could all admit that we've got something that we need to be, have some type of dark area in our life to be dispelled. And so I want you to think about that this morning. So he's given us freedom from ignorance and superstition and obscurity and wishful thinking and lies. And even he called light good. He called it good, and darkness flees in the presence of light. You know, light cannot cast a shadow. Maybe the device that creates the light that we enjoy today, maybe the device can, the object can, yes, but light itself does not have any shadow. Think about that. We'll come back to that as well. And he called it good, and he separated the light and the darkness, and light exists. Here's a statement for you. Light exists without the sun. Light exists today without the S-U in the sun. You see, the sun is only a reflection of God's glory in the same fashion the moon reflects the radiance of the sun. The sun that's in our solar system today is only a reflection of God's glory, if you will. When he spoke it into existence, when he created it, he said, turn the light on, right? So it's just a mere reflection of who he is, and it's exactly what we need for this life today. God provides the light, and the light of the world is Jesus today. Turn with me over to Exodus 25. Exodus 25. I'm going somewhere. Just hang tight. Exodus 25. And let's look at verse 31. If you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Billy spoke on these things just a little bit last week, and I hope we can develop this just a little bit today. I was hoping to get my pictures going, and they're not going for you this morning, but we'll talk about it. Exodus 25, verse 31, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops and his flowers shall be the same of the same. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, and with a knop and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, and with a knop and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with their knops and with their flowers. And there shall be a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and the shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it, with all these vessels." Verse 40, "And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." So God provides light to man. And now here we see where God gives light to man to shine. And this is the menorah. If you've ever seen pictures of this, if you ever see pictures of the coat of arms for the nation of Israel, one of their predominant symbols is not only the Star of David, but even preceding the Star of David was the menorah. You've seen a menorah in times past. I hope that you have, at least. And so they are the menorah. You've seen it with one main trunk stem, if you will, one candle up the middle, and then they got the branches to the sides of that, right? And so you've seen symbols of that and so forth. But what is the menorah? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we talked about it in the trip when we were over in Israel. And our guide, we had an awesome guide. His name was Shafiq. And he was born and raised there around the Sea of Galilee, got to play on the shores there as a young boy, now lives in Jerusalem and so forth. Actually worked for the government over there in doing an advanced detail. He was an advanced security officer, if you will, kind of like our Secret Service, and got to stand guard when Presidents Bush and Clinton visited Israel and so forth. So he worked for them for about 15 years. And for whatever reason, God called him and said, "Hey, I need you to tell the story." And so he said, "I need to become a guide." And so he did. And he became a guide. And he told us about this menorah. And he started to break down some of the words. And you would pronounce it as menorah. Menorah. And so you talk about the last two letters, the A-H, M-E-N-O-R-A-H, right? The Ah, if you will, speaks to Jehovah, right? A lot of things of these names that refer to God end in Ah. Right? And so the menorah means light, and the Ah is God, so that means the light of? So menorah, right? That's what we're talking about at this moment. God gives the light to man. And so he gave us specific instructions about its construction. And what was it for? It was to light up the tabernacle. When you walked in the curtain, when you walked in the holy place of the tabernacle, on the right was the table of showbread, and on the left was the menorah that was providing light inside this tabernacle out in the wilderness and so forth. And boy, we can talk, there's so much that we could go into on the tabernacle we're not going to do today, but he gave specific instructions on its construction, there it's being used, and they would light it from the evening until the morning. All seven candles would be lit, and they would leave one to three of them lit throughout the day. And so this thing was being lit up, and it was providing light, and it was made out of pure gold. Man, oh man, oh man. Can you imagine? Anybody got anything made of pure gold in your house? Anybody got anything that's got about 100 pounds of gold in it? No, I don't think any of us do. But here we have this creation that God said for Moses, and he gave them instructions to build it. And again, it's on the left-hand entrance of the tabernacle, and it's to burn from evening until morning. And even Josephus Flavius, a Jewish historian, states that perhaps 3 to 7 lamps were allowed to burn during the day. And the center candle remained lit, and according to Jewish tradition, it represented the Shekinah glory, or the presence of God in Israel. So it always burned, right? It was always lit. And they were lit daily from fresh, consecrated, or if you will, ritually pure olive oil. And we're going to get to that in a little while too, because we got to see over in Israel how they produced olive oil. Not just from the trees, but I don't know how many of you make olive oil at your house. But when you see how they did it and how he was the symbolism of the olive oil being produced and our Savior going through. Anyway, we'll get to that in the coming days. Lord, allow us to do that. But crushed olives through the olive press and so forth. And they could not be raised with the help of things like fertilizers. There had to be a specific way for this olive oil to be produced, to be burning with the wick that you heard about from the priestly garments, the bloody priestly garments being put in the menorahs last week. Man, there's so much here that we could go into, but for time's sake, could not be raised with the help of things like fertilizers. And if I were to tell you back in 2014, just a few years ago, 5 years ago, the first time in nearly 2,000 years, olive oil was produced according to their tradition to be burned in the temple once again. That ought to get you going just a little bit this morning, I'm just saying. If you're talking about we get to go out of here in just a little while and some of these things that they're when they're going to rebuild the temple and so forth, it ought to get you just a little bit excited. And so they have reproduced or they have produced consecrated or ritually pure olive oil, and they raised the olives. They had to find the place that was an olive grove that was not being tended to and fertilized so that they could produce and produce and produce and so forth. And they found it, for those that went over to the Holy Land just a little bit ago, they found a place over in the Golan Heights We went over to the Golan Heights not all that long ago. And they produced about 4.5 liters or right out a gallon to be saved and used in the next temple in the menorah. And so what are some significant or specific things about the menorah? It was fashioned after something that God created. And if I had my pictures going this morning, I would show you a plant that's called the menorah plant. And you would see the same structure that we enjoy today that we see symbolized and so forth. And, of course, the menorah plant or the menorah in general represented an organic symbol of light and a wellspring of wisdom. And the Jewish people have long believed that the menorah originally represented the tree of life. That was their belief system. The lampstand is clearly a symbol of God's word, which was David's statement when he said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," over in Psalms 119. And the tree of life is also identified with the Torah, the first 5 books of your Bible that you enjoy today. And if it's in your book, there's a specific purpose for it. And though we may not have been able to tie some of these things together, it's there for a reason. But the tree of life is identified in the Torah that it's wisdom of God's word. And Solomon declared that wisdom in Proverbs 3 in the first part of verse 18, that she is a tree of life for them that lay a hold of her. So we're talking about truth and wisdom. We've already said that about light and so forth. And Moses was called and appointed by God himself into divine words spoken from a bush that was burning but not consumed over in Exodus chapter 3. You remember the story there? God called him and there was a bush that was not being burned up. And some would say that that same bush was the menorah plant. I'm not going to say that it was or it wasn't, but some would believe that. And God, who dwelled in the bush over in Deuteronomy chapter 33, was first manifest to Moses through this flaming bush. And from this fire, the Shekinah came from the word of God. Are you following along what I'm saying? That God spoke light into existence. And here, this glory of God in the burning bush, the word spoke to Moses. And from the fire of the Shekinah came the word of God, and we have that as well today. It illuminates the heart of man even to this day. The menorah likewise also appears as a golden tree from which the fires manifest that brings both light and life through God's word. And of course, they burned olive oil in these things to produce the light. And the ancients considered the olive tree to be eternal, a tree that never died. And therefore, they regarded the olive tree as a symbol of enduring life. And olive trees presently exist that are more than 2,000 years old over in the Mount of Olives today in the Garden of Gethsemane. And even when the trunk of an olive tree is cut down, new life springs forth from the roots, even from the center of the tree. It's called a netzer or a shoot. We were there, and Brother Billy had seen it first, and he said, "You got your camera?" I said, "Yes, sir." So I walked over, and he said, "Take a picture of that." He said, "Just take a picture of that whole tree." And it looked like it was dead. It was an olive tree. It looked like it was completely dead. And I hadn't seen it just yet. And he said, "Take that whole picture." And I said, "Okay," click, took a picture. And he said, "Now look right there." He said, "Take a picture of that. Here's this dead stump of a tree, if you will. But out of the side of this thing that looks to completely be dark and dead and useless springs this little shoot of an olive tree coming out of this stump. It's hard to kill an olive tree." And so out of the darkness, God presents his light. And God runs off darkness, and God brings about light, and light brings about life. And so when we talk about light, it produces life. But the problem with us here this morning is that we've got so much darkness in us, and that we work and we play and we live around people that live still and try to enjoy darkness today. But we're called to be the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, and we'll get to that in just a second. But we'll hopefully all this is starting... I'm still an amateur preacher. And I know I'm not putting all this stuff in this place where it's rounding it all up together just yet, but hang with me. You remember Moses was out in the flaming bush, and he's experienced having a time with the Lord. And you remember that. Here we have this symbolism of the light, and here we have the word being spoken, and things coming into an existence here even from creation to this time and the nation of Israel and so forth. You remember that, and we'll keep moving on, but even Solomon created the 10 menorahs. So we've gone from the tabernacle, and now we're moving over to the temple that Solomon has built. David had everything prepared just right, but he wasn't able to build it. And God said, "No, you're a man of war. Too much blood's been spilt." And he called. Of course, Solomon got to build the temple, and he built it with magnificence. And you remember as you read through God's word that everything inside the temple was layered in what? Gold.
You walked on gold. You touched gold. You look up and you saw the gold. And there in the temple, when you walked in again, which was a three-faced thing there, if you will, from vertically and horizontally or as well. You walk in one room, you go to another room, and then the last place being the Holy of Holies and so forth. But when you walked into the holy place, there's five menorah on both sides. 70 candles being lit on 35 and 35 on both sides, five menorah on both sides. Can you imagine seeing these 70 candle lights, if you will, being coming off of that room where nothing but around you is pure gold and the reflection that's going all around in that room? The glory of God. So let's go, let's keep moving. Time's running out. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. The light of the world. Matthew chapter 2, and keep your finger there and jump back over to Luke chapter 2. We'll go there in just a moment. But Matthew chapter 2, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And look at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." What is a star? It is a reflector of what? Light. So they have seen a great light and they've come to worship the king. Now jump over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen. All right, Luke chapter 2, and look at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What does the word Christ mean? It means the Holy One of God, or the Anointed One, right? Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, but according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles." Who are the Gentiles? You and I are the Gentiles. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people of Israel. Again, the glory speaking about the light of our Lord God and Jesus being that very incarnation of the light. All right, verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Here comes that light. Jump over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. So God has provided light for us, and then he gave us that light, something for us to tangible, if you will, to continually see that light in the form of the menorah and the light that was there upon. But in John chapter 1 and verse 1, if you're there, say amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L, that all men through him might believe that he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God provided us a light, he gave us a light, and then he gives us Jesus Christ, who is the light of God. He is the very menorah that we can talk about today. He is the light of God. He is the light which is going to dispel all darkness. He is the one who's going to run away. He's the one that was sent into this world so that he could preach truth, but also with grace, so that people could accept the forgiveness of God and be forgiven of God if they would accept the light. The problem is, because of the world's darkness, because of the world's nature, the very same that's inside of you and me today, we don't accept the truth. We don't accept the light of the world being Jesus Christ. Why? Because we think that we're somewhat priestly, that we are somewhat godly, if you will. And that's a common misconception, because today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm nothing apart from Jesus Christ. I stand here today as somebody who's got a little bit of something in him, and it's because of what he's put inside of me. No, I'm not like everybody else today. No, I'm not like the people that I work with who want to run around and drink and curse and swear up and down the hallways. I'm not like them. Why? Because I got the light of the world inside of me. I got something different about in me. I loved what God has created. I love the light. I love the lights that we have in here. I love to carry one around and so forth. I love that, but I love Jesus so much more, who is the true light that was given to me to dispel darkness about me. Is there some dark corners in my life that needs to be run off? Yes, you better believe there are. Are there some dark corners in your life that you need to shed some light in? Yes, I'd be willing to bet so that there are as well. But he is the light of the world, and that's who we celebrate here today. And I know we've gone about this in a long way today, and if I could have shown you the pictures, you might have got a little bit different picture in your mind of what we're doing here today. But he is the light of the world today. Now, he's not here today. He is physically not with us today, but he gave us his spirit. He gave us his Holy Spirit, and it resides in the heart of every believer that's here today. And there's a move of the Holy Spirit that is going all around about us, even today. We talked about it the last time. Well, I'm thankful that he's not allowing the roof to collapse on us today. How is that done? By his Spirit, by his might, by his power. I'm glad that we're here today. I'm glad that there are people being saved on the other side of the pond, Brother Mitchell, by somebody like the Wyatts, Ronnie and Jim Wyatt, who are going over across the sea and seeing 200 kids being saved. What? Why? Because of his Spirit being in the world today, because of the glorious gospel shining light into the heart of those that live in darkness. It's still possible today that we can be illuminated and people can be saved. Do you believe that? I do. I do. So he's not here in the world today, but his Spirit is still here and is still creating light. It is still dispelling darkness. We have this blessed old book here today, and if we'll get our nose in the pages of it today, it'll help lighten up a few things in our lives. It'll help lighten up a few things in the people we work and play with. It'll help lighten up a few things in their lives. But the problem is, this is the way it stays in the house of the people today. Can I get a witness? Hey, we used to have a joke in the Christian bookstore business about when people had those little tabs on the side of the Bible, the ones that had the little notches, they'd pop off, right? They'd pop off. Get this now, and they'd come bring it to the Christian bookstore and say, hey, can you fix this? Well, sure we can for a small fee. We'll send it off for you. Sure we can, but the problem is that people sit it on the back dash of the car. Woo! They sit it on the back dash of the car, and the sun lights it up during the day, and it begins to make those things pop off. Hey, if it's sitting on the back dash of your car in that big old four-door sedan, you ain't reading it very much. You ain't got a lot of light going on in your life, and there's darkness building up in your life. Can I get a witness? Amen. Need some people to read God's word a little bit today. Amen. Why? He's not here with us physically. His Spirit's here with us, and it's moving. And we need a little bit of light. But God called us to be the light over in Matthew chapter 5. He called us to be the light. And we're to be the light of the world today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. The city on the hill which cannot be set on the hill, cannot be hid. And that's you and me. We're supposed to be shining brightly for Jesus. And I think I've talked about this in times past. Hey, I'm to be a mirror reflection of who he is in me. If my mirror has been marred by the things of this world, I don't wash my car every day. I know my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law will clean every speck off her car every waking second if she could. If she could put that thing on autopilot and clean something off her car while she's going to work, I believe she'd make that happen. She keeps a spick and span car. I don't wash mine every day. My wife doesn't wash hers. I don't wash hers every day either. But, man, y'all ever had that film on the inside of your windshield, right?
and it gets so bad. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know what that's from. I don't know if it's from bad breath on the way. Anyway, but we need to clean that thing every once in a while, right? So, and the outside definitely needs cleaning. But, you know, if we're to be a mirror reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ, every once in a while, that windshield on our heart that's supposed to reflect Jesus Christ, that needs cleaning every once in a while, right? That needs polishing every once in a while. How do I get that right? Well, I come before the Lord God, and I bow my head and say, Lord, you know I need cleaning up. I need to shine for you more effectively, more and more every day, so there's less of me, more of you. Help me, Lord, dear, oh Lord, I pray. Clean me up from the inside out, right? So I'm asking for the Lord for forgiveness. I'm also repenting of the things that's keeping me away from him so that my light shines for him more brightly. I don't know about you, but some of us need to polish that thing up just a little bit, right? I need to get right with the Lord. And maybe you know somebody that needs to get right with the Lord. You see, the only person that's able to reflect God's glory is the saved child of God, right? The saved child of God, because now he resides in me. He comes in me, and he indwells me, and he makes me new again like you heard sung about a while ago. But I pray that there's somebody here today, I know without a shadow of a doubt, that broad is the way, right? Broad is the path that people are following today, the ways of the world, and that's going to lead to easy destruction. But that narrow path, the one that requires the light of his word to illuminate, that's a narrow path, and few there be that'll find it. But I know in a room this size, there's quite a few folks in here today that need to get right with God because they've fallen off the path, one, or secondly, they've never found the path. They've never had the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shine down upon them, and they've never accepted him to be the Lord of their life. They don't know what it means to come out of or to live out of darkness. Why? They're so used to it. I can't testify for you, nor you for me today, but we need the light of the world to shine more brightly. The light of the world being the church today, it needs to shine more brightly. You know, we don't need to continue to sit down on our hands and gather right here in this auditorium right here and sit here and do absolutely nothing while people go into hell by the handfuls, the proverbial handfuls. We need people to have to get up and share Jesus. Shine, hey, pull open your shirt like Superman did to show that big old S off. Keep your shirts where they are, all right? But we need to proverbially, so to speak, let the Lord shine through us. And the church needs to shine. Hey, when we see sin, we call it out. Hey, I'm not here to condemn the sinner. I'm here to present Jesus Christ to them and say that, you know what, please don't do that. Because your creator, your maker, the one who sent his only begotten son died so that you could have forgiveness of that sin. And if you'll get right with him, he'll forgive you of it and he'll help you turn away from it. But we need to tell people about that right there. So the world has got to see the light of the world in us. But too many people have been blinded, had their minds blinded from them by the god of this world, the little g, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We need to shine him unto them. Sometimes you're the only Bible they'll ever read. And sometimes you're only light that they'll have to read that Bible. And sometimes your lamp is burnt out. It's time to trim your lamp just a little bit and allow it to burn a little bit brighter with some fresh oil. When was the last time you asked God to give you a little fresh oil in your life so that your light will shine brighter than it was? Hey, Jesus is the light of the world. That's what we're talking about today. Take your songbooks that back out really quickly. 262. This is what we sang a while ago. Don't you look at these words. Hey, that's the reason we still stick with these old hymn songs. There's a lot of truths in these blessed old songs right here because the people that wrote them, wow, had an experience in truth. Look at verse 1. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. I can't tell. Hey, the light of the world is Jesus. And the invitation is, come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Hey, there was a time when this little old fella right here was a little boy, and he was sitting in a Wednesday night service or a Sunday night service, and the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shone down onto me, and I responded by faith. And I went down to the front, and I told the preacher, he said, son, what is it that I can do for you? I said, I got to get saved. I need to get saved because I need the Lord to forgive me. And I went down. Hey, I was trusting in Jesus Christ. I didn't know what to say. I wasn't a very good church person at that young age. I didn't know quite what to say, but I knew what I was doing, what I needed to get right. And I'm glad, so glad, after all these years that I've been saved and God's using me today. Have I been what I always needed to be? Oh, no. But I went down, he shook my hand. He began to go through what the preacher would normally do in a Southern Baptist church. He said, well, son, I'm glad to hear that. Have you ever committed sin? And in a split second, you got to get this now. I thought that if I told him yes, he's going to tell my mama everything I got to tell him right now. He said, well, son, have you ever sinned in your life? I said, no, sir. And that ended that moment. So I didn't know quite what to say, didn't know quite what to do, but I knew that there was something going on in my heart and in my chest that I had to get right with God. Maybe you're here today and you got something going on inside of you and you've been feeling it over the last little while and you've not gotten right with God. And maybe you were like me and you did that many years ago, but you've allowed your mirror, you've allowed the world to contaminate what you're supposed to shine brightly with. And you need to come down here and get right with God today. I believe his word, that he is faithful and he is just to forgive all unrighteousness. Do you? Look at verse 2. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our God. The light of the world is Jesus. Verse 3, ye dwellers in darkness. That may be somebody here today. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes. The light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding. The light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Verse 4, no need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is a light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. The invitation of the song again, come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Amen. Maybe you're here today, you need to get right with the Lord. Maybe you're here today, you just need the Lord to save you. Maybe you need that light to shine down upon you today. God gave us a light. He provided light in the heavens for us to live by for today. He gave Moses the pattern for the light to be in the temple. Solomon expanded that, added more Moses in the tabernacle and Solomon in the temple. And, of course, where are they at today? You know, Israel was ransacked and so forth. Well, the menorah, it was in the temple, was taken off, and nobody knows where that's at today. Think that it was probably melted down for the gold, much like a lot of other things. But there has been one that was created just a couple of years ago. The Temple Institute over in Old Jerusalem has rebuilt a menorah according to their specifications, not only what God had called Moses to do in God's word, but through their oral and written histories and so forth of the Jewish people. So they've recreated one today. So there stands one in Israel today. It's 5 foot tall, a little over 5 foot tall, and it's prepared for that same olive oil that's been produced for the first time in 2,000 years. So why am I saying all that today? Because he's a coming again. Amen. He's a coming again. And there's going to come a time when the light comes down here in the twinkle of an eye, and those that are saved, children of the Heavenly Father today, will be out of here. But the problem is we don't know when that's going to happen. And you may be here today thinking you got plenty of time to get right with the Lord. The truth is, you don't. Because the light will turn out when we leave out of here today, could turn out for your soul. And it'll be too late for you to enjoy the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So what would hold any of us back from trusting and believing in Jesus Christ, the one who was stretched out and nailed to a cross, who died willingly so that you and I could have our sin debts paid, what would keep you from believing on him today? What about this world's allure? What about the world's strongholds today would keep you from believing on him? I can't answer that for you. But I can tell you there's nothing sweeter than Jesus. There's nothing better than Jesus. This world ain't got nothing on him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Danny, if you'll give me 14. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. There has to be a time in your life that you can look back to and say, that was the date in my life when I had the light shone down into my heart. There's got to be a time in your life where you can say and look back, I've trusted in Jesus Christ on that day. I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he died to pay my sin. I believe that he's coming back for me, and I'm going to live my life for him. There's got to be a time when you've done that. There's got to be a time in your life where you can look back and say, I was a sinner, and I needed a Savior, and I trusted on Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, I would invite you down today to believe on him for the first time. And if your mirror is so bright and dim this morning that it can't shine the glory of God into this dark and dying world, maybe you need to come around this altar today and ask God to clean it up for you. I believe he will. But there's got to be an honest conversation and a humble conversation down here with him this morning. I got a song I'm going to play for you. I know from my own testimony, I saw that light many years ago. And I'm grateful for it. But it wasn't about 20 till 21, 22, 23, somewhere around that point in my life. Boy, it shone real bright. Things got real for me. How about you?